see you coming back in here with ducky jumpsies. I want to see you coming back in here with bloodstained jumpsies.
How could anybody go and sit in a pint with those boys after that?
And the referee is looking around and acting as Mickey.
Tell the children to play tennis or something.
If they want to play tennis, go and play tennis.
Hello, how's it going? What's the crack? Welcome to the Three Man Weave, the Posit AGA podcast. This is our hurling show. We've decided that we've neglected our one true love, which is the so-called weaker counties. And to address that, we're going to put out two shows today. This is the first of them. Mark, how's it going?
Not too bad. I'm excited to delve back into the lower leagues of Alliance League hurling.
You'd be familiar with them anyway.
Yeah, exactly. Knew he was going to say that.
Mick, how's the crack?
Not too bad. Nice Cavendish, like, you know, within the first 40 seconds.
In a hurling show.
But it is true, though. I mean, I noticed that I was really looking at the divisions there earlier and thinking, I haven't been paying attention. That was one of the most exciting things about last year. You remember when we were in a different studio here at the time and we were doing the early stages of the show, and I was like learning all kinds of things about Fermanagh hurling and Sligo and Donegal's first ever sojourn into Division 2. Yeah, and it disappears pretty quickly.
Without being too like self-congratulating, it goes to show the importance of covering those lower tiers. Like, we're going to speak to Shane Conway later on in the show, the Kerry hurler. Also, UCC won the Fitzgibbon Cup. They brought it back to Lixnaw. But you got to see the excitement that drummed up in a Kerry club. Like, they brought a busload of supporters to watch that Fitzgibbon final. But I guess that we don't even know about that without some sort of representation.
Effort. Yeah. To look it up.
Actually, isn't it, I'm sure you'll talk to him about it as well, but actually another reason why the Fitzgibbon and Sigerson should be lauded a lot more than it even is that, you know, in a county structure where you know, this guy will be a Kerry hurler and he'll be proud to be for the rest of his life, but no matter how good he is, he's never going to win an All-Ireland or a Munster title. And it gives them that chance to go and play with the very, very best of the game and go to UCC and you know, win a national title.
Yeah, and thrive.
And there's something really, really great about that just doesn't exist anywhere else in the GAA.
Yeah. We were going to look ahead to the league fixtures that are on the show, but first there's a bit of news that Dave Matthews has joined up with the Offaly Hurlers, setting in trend.
The guy from the band.
The
Dave Matthews band.
It's
a weird appointment.
Less.
I gathered it was that band.
The more famous Dave Matthews, the Irish sprinter, who has also worked with the Cork Hurlers in the past. Cork Hurlers who now have recruited Dougie Howlett, the Munster rugby player. Kieran Donaghy's in with the Galway Hurlers.
Yeah.
It's, and I mean, Anne-Marie Kennedy has also gone in with the Offaly Hurlers as a sports psychologist, so she's got a massive job in her hands down there.
Gotcha. But you have Mark Ingle from the basketball coach involved with the Dublin Footballers.
Bernard Dunn with the Dublin
Bernard
Footballers.
Bernard Dunn, of course, yeah.
Anthony Cunningham,
though, isn't it?
Anthony Cunningham taking over Roscommon in football. No, he was a football man.
He was a football coach as well. Gary Castle, yeah.
But it goes to show, like, there's this idea that I think within GAA, probably a snobbish
Shane McConville's done stuff with the hip hurlers,
no,
I think,
with
maybe.
Leash hurlers. Yeah, he has.
John or Tony McEntee with the tip hurlers for a while.
Yeah, so there's millions of examples of it, like, yeah.
I think, but there was, certainly when I was growing up, an idea that GA is so specialist that you can't really look to other sports. That it's so specialist that rugby would traditionally cite, oh, he's had a Gaelic football background and that's why he can catch a ball over his head. And then you look at it.
What was his name again? The Welsh...
Josh Adams.
Yes. That Gaelic football background really. So that was
a great corner forward in his day.
GA, we have it coming up on a football show, but I want to say GA hot take. That catch was better than Shane Horgan's catch in Crow Park.
We'll talk about that in our rugby show, which you can also get on Mondays.
Tuesdays. We've lost the run of ourselves already in the hurling show.
The thing I was going to say about this background thing, I remember Kieran Dinhy talking about how he wrote an article, the athletics journalist, and he spoke about the idea that if you bring in somebody from athletics, for example, into Gaelic football or hurling, all their principles like periodization or, you know, agility, speed, endurance can all be transferred to football teams. So that was the example he gave with Cork, who demonstrated a lot of that last year. But it's the ability to spot skills elsewhere that you could then apply to your own. Like, for example, I'd be fascinated to know what Kieran Donaghy is going to bring to the Galway Hurlers, because I don't understand where necessarily that coach comes to. I'm sure he's a gifted orator, he's a good talker, but is that all it comes down to, or is there more? That'll be a And we won't find out.
He's
that
also got like the training and coaching of two top level sports.
Exactly.
Which he can bring into, you know, and it's as performance manager, I think, or performance specialist coach, yeah, or something like that is the title. So I know that's a kind of, that's suitably vague, and it can mean kind of whatever, I suppose, Michael Donoghue wants it to mean, you know. But like, you can't imagine that Kieran Donoghue doesn't have something to offer just by his experience alone in that, like, you know, the big occasion.
Yeah.
You know, talk about that. Talk about, you know, physical, like, you know, physical training in the same way. So there's about 20 things that he can bring experience to that never involves picking up a hurley. Like,
there's also the slow sort of tactical revolution that's been happening at hurling over the last few years, that where tactics become more and more important. And if you look at when it happened, start happening in football, you start bringing in basketball coaches. Now you've got the benefit of both in Donoghue,
yeah,
in terms of hurling.
Yeah, it's funny you say that all the things he can bring, and that this is a trend, because I saw, and I'm trying to remember, and I can't, I'm sorry, so I can't credit who was saying it, but I saw a conversation on Twitter when this news came out yesterday morning suggesting that it was a negative, that this was a gimmick, that people were bringing in basically unqualified people from other sports because they're big names, when, and this is happening across football and hurling, that, and then people within the county who are qualified to do these roles are being overlooked for the celebrity outsider. I'm not sure I think that's fair. I think that, you know, it's not that Kieran Donoghue isn't qualified to be a hurling person. Mm. It's that he's qualified to speak from his own experience on, yeah, what's ultimately a very similar level, you know?
Someone like Clive Woodward was appointed, was a director of football or first team coach at
Southampton. Yeah, that didn't go too well though, I don't think.
Doesn't mean it's not like that.
But I guess, yeah, like the idea, that principle is based off the idea that Kieran Donoghue's not going to be coaching or picking the team. Like, that's, yeah, that's not his job. They have people for that already. He's just going to add an extra layer on top of that.
Like, yeah. He's only been down there twice so far as well because of his basketball commitment. So I think it's going to step up during the summer. So I think even the Galway players don't know what he's doing yet. Never mind the media.
Even just to get that bit of energy and get it that big a bit of bite back in your game, especially for Galway, from just like, you know, that question of, I don't think there's not much doubt about it in terms of that, they have the hunger after winning in Ireland already to go again. Like, Donoghue's probably a brilliant man to get a team motivated like that.
Yeah, I suppose as a speech, what I can't wait for is Joe Canning to ask, what do you think of that, Gerard Lachnan, after Galway win the All Ireland this year?
I also hope Donoghue somehow got, like, you know, takes the role of Mair Uisce in the, or Mair Fearne or whatever it's called in the game, because he was brilliant at that as a Kerry player, where I saw him, I remember in the 2009 hammering of Dublin in the quarterfinal, Donoghue was doing water boy, and he was out injured with a bad ankle, and he was running across the Dublin full back line constantly throughout the game to go to the furthest possible away player, if it was O'Donoghue, whoever it was, you know, and kind of just get in the face of the Dublin full back line and just annoyed the shit out of them the whole way through. And then eventually, and I won't say who it was, but I actually had talked to Donoghue about this in the past, one of the Dublin players threw a kick at his bad ankle.
No way.
Yeah, as the ball was up the other end, I just happened to be looking down and I was like, what's Donoghue up to here? Threw a kick at him, and I asked Donoghue, did he remember it? This was a few months later. And he goes, do I remember it? Like, let's just say when they played each other in the league, that player was playing in midfield and Donoghue was playing in midfield. Jack O'Connor realised what was about to happen and moved Donoghue straight in full forward before the throw in. Anyway, there's a random story.
Someone from the full back line who ended up playing midfield.
Yeah, I've probably given it away here, haven't I?
That's enough football chat on this Ireland show.
Sorry.
We'll go back to our...
I didn't think I'd be the one to blame for that, actually.
We'll go to our expert on weaker counties hurling-wise, which is Mark Farley, who's going to take a run through what exactly this weekend brings to store.
Yeah, exactly. So it's a case of just checking in. There are a lot of games that have already, like some of the divisions, like Division 3B, you've only got one game left for some. Leitrim have played actually all their games. But there's a worrying trend as we're pretty much, again, like I was saying, a game to play. And of course, some of them have two. And there's a worrying trend that a lot of the teams who have gone up last year haven't built upon it and look like they could go straight back down.
Yeah.
In literally every division. If you go through from, like, say we'll start at Division 2A, Westmeath again. Poor old Westmeath.
Who's going to catch them on the line this time?
The group stages have now won 9 out of 9 games across the 2 years in Division 2B, but are still stuck there. They've won 4 out of 4. Kerry are going well, which is great for them to see that they've actually, they're ahead of Antrim, who went down after last year. So Kerry could end up in that Division 2A final with the hope of promotion into Division 1B, and that'll be interesting. I'm sure that'll come up in the conversation later. But if you look at London, are rooted to the bottom. They just survived last year by beating Kildare, and Mayo, who had gone up and had a brilliant Division 2B campaign last year, they've gotten one point. They've gotten a draw against Meath, so there is
and
a danger
of them a very big beat there. But yeah. it is. I understand the trend that it is worrying, but I think even starting at that high level, you kind of understand that for Mayo.
Yeah,
these are teams that are
Mayo actually doing the best. Ireland,
you know what I mean? It's a very, very different.
I'm just looking back. I'm fairly sure Mayo are actually the only team of any of the teams that were promoted last year that have gotten a point so far in the league. If you look at Division 2B, Derry, what a turnaround for them. Derry lost all their games last year in Division 2B, but beat Armagh in the relegation playoff to stay up. And now they've won every game so far. They've won 4 from 4. Down as well, who finished top of Division 2B last year but lost the final, are just behind them on 2 points.
And that's good to see, actually, because we couldn't understand why Derry and Down were in such bad shape last year. And if they can get it, because they are places that have hurling pockets, and look at Schlottneil and everything, and they were always up there with the top three in Ulster. It was just weird that they were so bad, actually, wasn't it?
Yeah,
so,
do you think it'll stand to Derry now that the Schlottneil lads didn't kick it like cushioned all? The fact that they, Antrim, who got like a scutching against Kerry 2 weeks ago, they obviously had a major impact that they're missing the likes of Neil McManus. Whereas you look at Derry, finally, for the first time in a long time, have lead players available. I wonder, is that that's obviously a strength, actually.
Yeah, definitely. And there is something particularly in hurling about that they have to sort out that in terms of the club Ireland series, because it cripples teams like that, where your teams can be made up of. Like, the backbone of your team could be just one club.
Yeah. It's not like in stronger counties. There might only be 4 hurling clubs, but one of them could be one of the best in the country.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But then even in the footballers, look at the difference it's making for Derry this year to have the Schlottneil lads
available
for the league. Donegal, one worry in terms of Ulster teams is Donegal, because they had won 6. There was the first ever time in Division 2B last year. Had a brilliant campaign, won 3 games, and now they've actually lost all 4 so far. So they're joint bottom with Warwickshire, who had gone up from Division 3A. So they're another one of the promoted teams that are struggling. Then they're in Division 3A. Roscommon, unfortunately, are doing really well. Actually, no, I have nothing against the Roscommon hurlers. We'll leave that beef for another day.
That's an interesting one, because Roscommon, I wonder if they misunderstood. They actually have some really strong hurling strongholds, like Four Roads, for example, who underage actually play in the Galway League. I know at senior level. It's one of the problems with places like Tyrone and Mayo or Four Roads in Roscommon, when you've got one really strong hurling stronghold and they've got no one to play against. So Four Roads have asked, I think, repeatedly to try and come in and play in the Galway Intermediate Championship. So have Tyrone, and both of them aren't able to. And because of that, you get a situation where they kind of are left, backboning their own intercounty teams, but they don't really have a way to develop as clubs. And I suppose the counter argument to that is that how are other counties or clubs within the county going to catch up with them? I just think it would be a strength for the likes of Tyrone and definitely Four Roads to be allowed to play in the Galway Intermediate Championship.
Do you know what I'd love to have that conversation? That was like, should there be a Connacht League for these clubs,
definitely.
Or should there be, or what about the clubs that are coming up behind them? How did they get? If I genuinely believe that whoever's in charge of it, the Connacht Council, the Mayo County Board, whoever, if those were the two problems,
yeah,
and it wasn't something closer to, we don't really care, it's a pain in our hole.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that is the case, but that's my feeling, is that it's closer to that than the 2 points that you just made. And that's a pity.
Absolutely.
Definitely. Yeah, Roscommon, they've got 4 from 4. Armagh, trying to bounce back up. They've won 3, lost 1. And down at the bottom again, Lancashire, who had come up from Division 3B last year, have lost all the games so far. So they're in severe difficulty going back down, because I think they played Louth already. That game was on in Abbottstown a few weeks ago. And then Division 3B, you have Sligo and Longford leading the way, 6 points apiece. Longford, who were relegated from Division 3A last year, And then Leitrim, it's a worry for them because they actually won three games last year, only lost one against, I think it was against or Lancashire. They had finished second, but they've lost all four games so far this year.
So, and how are Cavan getting on?
Cavan are going very well. We've beaten, we beat Leitrim and then lost, they lost to Longford by 6 points, but it was 3-10 to 13 points.
Right, okay.
So they actually was 13 scores apiece and Cavan were missing an awful lot of players as well. They're missing their two midfielders and they'd probably be their two best players.
There you go. So, and have they played Fermanagh yet?
Have they played Fermanagh yet? No, I don't think so. I think they're left. Yeah, they haven't played Fermanagh. No, they lost heavily to Sligo. Beat Leitrim.
Good chance of 2 wins.
Good chance of 2 wins.
There you go.
At least one Cavan side will be successful this year, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
We're going to attach to Shane Conway in a second. Before we do, though, I want to talk a small bit about the Fitzgibbon Cup because it's amazing.
Yeah.
And I think this year really brought it home when you had somebody like Dermot McGrath on commentary for every game and how excited he gets. Like, our love of Dermot McGrath is well established on this show. But Shane Conway hit 6 points in the final for UCC when they won the Fitzgibbon Cup. He then... And that, so that in itself is brilliant, like a really entertaining game, which they all are. But it's the festivity within that that I kind of love. So it's the fact that 24 or 26 lads from UCC decided to go to North Kerry to celebrate because there was only one player from a not hurling stronghold on the team.
Yeah.
So they land up in North Kerry on a lorry, on the back of a lorry to the local village and celebrate it there. And it just makes you feel all the more kind of disappointed that it's not given its own set area in the calendar that it kind of deserves.
Yeah, because it's so hard to, like, you're talking about games in midweek played in, you know, with very little coverage. And it's hard to know who's on what team and where they're from. And you're getting the three Limerick colleges confused with each other. And you know that there's a few lads from different counties on different teams. But you don't get that sense of here's where the Fitzgibbon or Sigerson even sets up this year. Here's who's with who and here are the you know, we need that. We need a narrative.
Yeah.
And that's just missing from it. And it's a pity because it totally deserves it. Like,
even for people who aren't actually playing, I remember, you know, the way they deal with it, which like is horrendous in terms of player welfare, but the Sigerson weekend where it was like the semi-finals and then the final the next day.
Yeah.
I remember that coming to Maynooth raising college and Maynooth were actually in the semi-final and it was just a brilliant weekend because everyone's like, Jesus, we weren't playing at all, but it was like, fucking Sigerson coming this weekend, it'll be a bit of crack, everybody stays up and goes out for it.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, Maynooth lost in the semi-final, but then everybody was out for the night.
Yeah.
And then the final the next day.
It's great as well then, it's such a big group of players that have probably bigger fish to fry, a lot of them this year, but there is that kind of sense of, like, there's a real sense that this is a real team.
Yeah.
It's not just this kind of like throwaway extra thing that I do for the scholarship or anything like that. You see the lads celebrating, you see them going to Lishnaw like that. It's a real kind of community. It doesn't matter whether you're Tony Kelly or you're, you know, a club player who's kind of after kind of playing his way onto this panel, you know.
And it'll be interesting to ask Shane about this because one of the biggest problems, the reason that it is hindered the way it is not actually even down to just certain, the calendar is one issue, but it's also inter-county managers not allowing them access to players. Like Anthony Daly wrote in his column recently that he turned down a Fitzgibbon job because he knew how the players available to them wouldn't be available to him because of inter-county managers. Now, Shane would be an interesting case because Shane has played with both Kerry while he's playing with Fitzgibbon, so it'll be interesting to ask him about that, which we can hear about now, I guess.
Nobody counted us in all year! The media!
Where did this ferocious determination out there today come from?
The media!
All right, I'm delighted to say we're joined now by Shane Conway, UCC and Kerry Hurler. Shane, how's it going?
Good, thanks for having me on.
No worries. A lot of people would have seen the pictures coming out from your visit to Lixnaw. I trust you celebrated it sufficiently.
We did. It was kind of a shock that we landed down there, but there were 24 fellas that went down and we got a good turnout down Lixnaw. They all came out and supported us, so it was very nice to say the lads had a good time down there, and I certainly did anyway.
How did it come about that you visited Lixnaw, Shane?
We were inside in the bar Sunday, and just John Granger, he's kind of over the sports department, said we go down to Lixnaw, we get a bus, and sure, we thought nothing of it at the time. And I remember waking up then Monday morning, and I was like, is this actually happening? And everyone, there was 24 fellas that were putting their thumbs up saying that they were going, and it just happened then.
Okay, because you had, throughout the year, you had great support. I know even at the final, there was a bus brought down. Like, it must have been nice to see that from your own club too.
Oh, it definitely was. It showed that their support to me, and that day it was on Waterford, which is 3 hour travel for anyone that's in Lixnaw. So it meant a lot to me, and it made it a bit more special as well the day I arrived down.
Yeah, the Fitzgibbon Cup itself, I suppose, has been a kind of a weird year for it, because it's every year it seems to be kind of decreasing because of being fed into the fixture schedule. I'm wondering, like, from your own sake, how important would you view that competition?
I think it's very important, especially for every county player when they're just say we're getting good games in. It's high standard, and so it's only the league now at the moment, and the way the league, no one goes up and down in Division 1, that you're getting competitive games leading into the championships, and you're getting them nice and early, so it's very intense, and the fitness, you're getting a good bank of fitness inside there, so it's I think it's very good competition to get that for you.
Did you find hard to balance playing into county and playing with your college as well?
No, it was only my first year now playing for Cuban, and Fintan O'Connor, to be fair to him, was very nice to me. He taught me, look, that I didn't have to be coming down for training, because we were training 2 nights a week above here, and that he said if I could play the games on the weekend, and I picked up a small bit of an injury, I got a few stitches for one game, and he left me off for 2 games, so he was very good to me now, in fairness, so I thought it was very easy to balance this, to be honest.
Okay, so you only trained away with the Fitzgibbon and could play your games at the end of the week after, is it?
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's probably, that's one potential solution, surely, going forward, is that managers kind of engage with players and allow them that sort of freedom to go away and play with their colleges and not kind of overburden them with training and the likes as well.
Yeah, definitely, because it's not, we're training hard. We're training since about, I think we met in October sometime. Was it October or maybe just after that? And we were training since. So it wasn't like that we were taking it lightly or anything like that. We were training very hard, in fairness, for it. So I think county managers should give them a small bit of a leeway. If they only train maybe once a week instead of training twice, it might be somewhat better for them. But it's a high standard of training. You're training with 30-odd lads every single night that's trying to get on the team. So it's very high standard. So I think the coaches should allow maybe a small bit of leeway for them to play if it's given.
And even from your own sake, for your own development, I know you're the only player from outside, like these so-called kind of stronger counties, who was hurling in the Fitzgibbon. It must have been nice to kind of not only hold your own, but kind of thrive at that level as well.
Yeah, it was nice. It was kind of a shock that I was starting at the start, but it was nice that the boys, the management, believed in me. So it just gave me that kind of gave me that sense of they believe me, so I can actually go out and do it, and there was no pressure whatsoever, really, because no one really expected much from me, so it was just nice to go out and express myself.
Was hurling always your number one sport, Shane?
It was, since I can remember. My dad and my family in general were mad into hurling, so from the very minute I can remember, I had hurling in my hand, and every game my dad was over teams, Ixnay team, so any game he went to our train and I was back in the field just poking away. So it's like, I play football too, but hurling is still number one for me. I know it's strange coming from a Kerry man, but still hurling is my number one anyway.
Because I think a lot of people might not, from outside the county, might not realise how strong a hurling stronghold there is in kind of North Kerry around Ixnay. Like it really is the number one sport there.
Yeah, it is. North Kerry is definitely number one. And it's up and coming every time. We won the county final last year, and we were beaten by Charlotte in the semi-final, and they went on to get to the All-Ireland final. So it just shows you that North Kerry is improving that bit, and hopefully it won't be too long more now before a first Kerry team will win a Munster and go on and hopefully win All-Ireland at some point. And it'd just be nice to see, because we are improving slowly but surely.
And there's obviously been a fierce amount of work there. I know we had Tweet Griffin on the show last year, and he spoke about the work that's kind of been done on the ground to try and grow the game within the county as well. Like, I'm wondering, is that perceivable to you? Have you noticed kind of an increase in the general levels around the county as a whole?
Definitely. There's new clubs setting up. I think someone was telling me there the last day that Ratmore after setting up a team, and they wouldn't be in North Kerry, but they're setting up a team. Tralee Parnell has an underage team going with the last number of years, and they finally are after entering a junior team into the junior championship, and that's in the heart of Tralee, where there'll be Stranraer and all them big football clubs. So it's nice to see that it is improving. People are taking interest, because it's a great sport, and I know it's Kerry, so football is the main thing, but it's still nice to see that people are willing to go out and try and play hurling too.
Yeah, and I suppose even from an underage sake, there's nothing to be said for having to choose one or the other. Like, as you mentioned, I think it comes down to managers kind of being able to accommodate and balance the two. Like, if you could accommodate playing intercounty and Fitzgibbon, surely a young lad in Kerry can accommodate playing football and hurling.
Yeah, it's just if you can get, like I said, if you can get the coaches on board with each other, it's a lot easier, because that's what, when we're playing football at home, some matches clash with the hurling at home, and only that we're kind of the one club attendee, so that we know what fixtures we can put back certain fixtures and put on certain fixtures. But I suppose it's a small bit more difficult when it's the case of if you're playing with a different club in Tralee and you're playing different football, it's so it might be that bit harder, but I'm sure if people went to them and just tried to work it out some bit, that the county board would be willing to accommodate them if they want to go and play hurling, if that's what they choose as well.
And obviously then at senior level, you're flying kind of right now in contention for promotion. I'm wondering, was the league much of an importance to you at the start of the year?
We said that the league was a bit important. We said we'd try out our players as well, because we got a good shot of young fellas in this year. We got, I think, 7 or 8 newcomers, and they're really pushing for places, so we have to give them a chance too. But we are playing Meath now Sunday, and if we win that, it's all guns blazing for Westmeath in the final, and we'll try and get up to 1B for that rejig. And it'd be nice if you could see some big county come down to Kerry to play us. It would really help us down in Kerry and maybe help the younger generation to stick at it, and we'll see that Kerry will progress even further in the future.
Well, hey, that's an interesting point, because a lot of the time you kind of hear players talking about the idea that it's good to test themselves at teams at a higher level, that, you know, in terms of kind of ranking themselves for their own development. But I never even thought of the fact that a team coming down to Kerry, what that might do. I assume just in terms of support and kind of generating a kind of a feel-good atmosphere.
Yeah, it's great. We'd obviously get more of a support. We're playing with the footballers now before them next Sunday, so there'll obviously be a bigger crowd, which will be nice. And a few young people and older people will get to see us play, and that's great as well. It'll be more of an atmosphere for us. But if it was next year and you were up in 1B and it was the likes of Kilkenny or whoever would come down to you, that surely that a big crowd would come down just to see the All-Ireland champions of so many years ago and to see their great players. And it might get kids interested in hurling and say, John, if they're playing Kilkenny, maybe we'll play them one day. And it would make us even better that we might go on to actually compete at some stage in it. So it would be massive if we could get up to 1B this year.
And then obviously looking forward, you've got the Joe McDonagh, your second year in it this year. I assume your ambitions there are to be challenging towards the business end of the year.
Definitely. You'd be crazy if you weren't trying to think that. We kind of slipped off a small bit last year, so we're trying to make a few wrongs right. If we can, we'll take every game as it comes. We're not thinking about finals or semi-finals or anything at the moment. We'll just take one game, we'll get over it, and we'll focus on the next game, because you might lose one and still end up in a final. So we're not going to be panicking if we lose one. But if you win your first one, you're kind of set up really. So we'll take the first game and see where we go from there. But hopefully that we'll be in the business end of it, and that we'll be going up lifting a cup.
Yeah, obviously last year was your first year in the competition, it was a new competition, but how did you find the challenge of it? I know like the games kind of came in the thick and fast, which was one thing that they might be looking at down the line. Did you find that difficult?
Yeah, they come thick and fast, but no, it's like we're training all year, so it's not like we don't have the fitness for it. They come thick and fast, and I kind of prefer that in a way. I think you get one 2 week break in the middle of it. And
yeah.
I prefer the games coming kind of quick, because you're not waiting around, and it's just easier if they come a small bit quick. And the only thing that we'd want from it really is a small bit more publicity from it, just if someone was to air the game maybe on a Monday or a Tuesday night, to publicise us as well, it'd be nice.
Especially as you spoke about there, the idea that it would help kind of grow Kerry hurling if they could kind of see them on television and things like that. Like, I know it was a massive bugbear last year that it probably didn't get the coverage the games deserved.
Yeah, it'd be massive for the people at home. Sometimes we have to travel long distances, and it's hard to be asking. I think we're going to Antrim at some point, and Joe, it's tough for people to commute up there. So it'd be nice if the game was on maybe a Monday, or whatever day it would be. Even if it's only the replay of it, that people get to see us play and see what we're actually like, and that we are putting in hard work, and that we're coming a small bit. So it'd be nice, and it would help us as well, try and get a few more bodies playing hurling.
And even if that was just a highlights package, we've spoken about this before, that if it was offered to somebody like Virgin Media or to TG Cahir to air kind of a Sunday game style show, like the games are all competitive. There's no reason not to. There's plenty of entertainment there.
Yeah, the games are very, very competitive and hurling is good in them as well. And you could, I suppose, it could be like something like the way they do the Fitzgibbon and the Sigerson. You could stream them or, I don't know, there's definitely some way that you could get those games on air so people can watch them because they are good quality games with high scoring in them and they are exciting.
And from your own perspective, I mean, you obviously great form in the Fitzgibbon. I assume that's the goal, is trying to not burn out and keep that carrying over throughout the league and peak for Championship then.
Yeah, definitely. It's burnout is a massive thing as well, but I think we were well minded and we weren't trained too hard leading up to games with Fitzgibbon. We trained very hard at the start, and then you have maybe a 3-day turnaround to play in the league. So they were minding us as well. We never ran to date or anything like that. It was all mainly hurling skills and everything like that. So like Joe Cunningham and Damon Tomkinson, they know what they're at. They're around long enough now to know that players do get tired, and the main thing about Fitzgibbon, I think, is to stay fresh, and we certainly did, and it paid off dividends in the end.
It did, yeah. Shane, that's great. I appreciate you taking the call.
Sure, thanks very much. Nice for that.
It's back once again by a Noel McGrath. Back once again, it comes here to the number two. Back once again to Conor Loftus. Back once again through one market to another. But back once again. Back once again there to Brian Stack. One back once again here. Once again to Philly McMahon this time. There's a chance for Mayer now just to build it from the back once again. Back once again towards Kieran Kilkenny. Back once again. Back once again. Back once again.
Brilliant stuff from Shane Conway there, Kerry Hurley. One of the, I think, most well-made points he made there was the idea of how important it is to, like, we have championed trying to get more coverage for the Drunkard Center for a long time here. But it's not only because they're entertaining games. It's also because of what, it's almost like a service to hurling.
Yeah, definitely. It creates a bit of an atmosphere as well to get those teams down, as he was saying. And create, it's nearly like a sort of festive sort of feel to it, rather than it just being something that's, you know, there's teams here who are playing each other, as we said, going through, like teams going up and straight back down, that they're playing the same counties nearly every year.
Yeah.
And you can get a bit monotonous and also just ignored.
But also on that idea, like there's so there's a top bracket that we all know about, it's well established, and then there's teams that are a lot further off in hurling, and that's clearly defined. But there's a middle tier bracket, the likes of Kerry, Westmeath, who are now promoted, who are actually playing at a standard that is fully deserving of television coverage. Like Shane Conway is a guy who like thrived in the Fitzgibbon Cup this year. He tore it up there. So the idea that there's not quality there, like last year we spoke about the idea that there's only 4 points or less difference in the vast, vast majority of games in the Joe McDonough. There's literally no reason not to broadcast that.
Except for just the cost of broadcasting. And like you'd imagine that if the GEA wanted this, they could at least trial it for a few years, put it on TG Cahir and see if people watched it, because like it's a good competition and we got so into it last year. Like because we were doing this show, we lived and died by it, and it was really, really interesting competition. And I can't see how that wouldn't transfer some way into
you
TV
wonder,
if it was given that.
Do you need a sponsor even to do it on YouTube Live?
Maybe, yeah.
Even on that, right? Even on that, there's like, I know there's rights deals existing, but if a broadcaster isn't using rights to this. Like, for example, last year, Westmeath were only allowed to, they broadcast one game on Facebook Live, and they didn't do it again, and they took down the video afterwards. But if nobody's going to broadcast that, surely they should be allowed to do that on Facebook. It was put up on Facebook, kind of like tapping into this modern age. It had over, I think, like 30,000 viewers at one stage. Like, the thing took off. It was the Westmeath Carlo before they played in the final, and they weren't allowed to do it again. They didn't do it again. Like, if people aren't using broadcast rights, because the broadcast rights exist, they're there. We actually saw highlights from two games from the Jumbotron last year, but that was it. Like, if they're not using it, surely a county that wants to be creative, like Westmeath were last year, should be allowed to do it.
And that's another thing that, like, it's like, for all the for everything that Congress does, that's like little, you know, these kind of like questions of the soul that keep coming up that we end up debating for years and years, and who's the GA for and all that. These are the things that they could just fix.
Exactly.
These are the things that they could just come in and say, look, can we have a real debate about this? Leave your vested interests at the door and say, what's the best for the GA public, for the weaker counties, for everyone else, and just fix it. But, you know, I'd like, was that even addressed at Congress?
Instead, no. We get motions.
And then you get things arguing about Sky deals all the exactly. time because.
Yeah. Or motions to bore holes in the bottom of cups so people can't drink out of the trophies.
Can I just say one other point on him bringing up there, like, you know, the Waterford coming to town or whatever, you know? These teams need to play the top teams, and it'll be like Carlo are going to get relegated this year. We already know that before it happens, but they have a really, really good chance of surviving in 1B again. They're playing those games, you know, playing those teams every year in that division. That's going to change next year, so it's even going to be a little bit more kind of top-heavy with the better teams. They're going to play all those Leinster Championship games this year, and it's just like, it's almost like in 2020, it's such a pity that they're just going to have to go. And I think you need promotion relegation. I'm not really arguing against that. I'm just saying it's such a pity that they're going to be back playing against, you know, the likes of Kerry and Meath and stuff like that again the following year, because the only way they'll get better and the only way that hurling will ingrain itself into the psyche of the county is if you have that chance of beating Wexford one year or beating Dublin one year or whatever, you know.
I said this about our table tennis league, teams getting promoted from Division 3 being the lowest day of execution in Division 2, and you all fucked me out of it.
Well, I'm not saying it should happen, and also that's office table tennis league.
But it's the same concept.
But I'm not saying it should happen.
But why should it not
because
happen?
Because what good is a stay of execution to competition? That's not what you should do either. I'm just saying that we do need to have the best teams competing against each other, or else people aren't going to watch it. I'm just saying that what would be great for a county like Carlow is to develop into a hurling county where the people of the county are all getting excited about the big hurling game, as opposed to is always being about the Leinster first round in the football, you know? And I know that's different areas and different things, but I don't believe that success doesn't breed success. And if you look at like hurling in West Clare, it might not ever be a stronghold in terms of people playing it, but everybody will watch it.
Exactly, yeah.
It's the, you know, because they've won All-Ireland.
Like, it's the, it's what a day, like, if Kerry are looking good at the minute, like, sitting pretty, if Kerry were to get promoted, can you imagine what a day in Tralee next year where Kerry welcomed the Kilkenny Hurlers would be like into Austin Stark Park down in February into that? I mean, as an occasion, and your hope, I suppose, is that 5 or 10 years down the line that whoever that inspires will suddenly take off for Kerry, and but it's a lovely cycle.
But then it's not an argument that that's what I'm saying. Like, we're all in agreement, except just how you set it up. But
you should do it on merit as well, though.
Yeah, Mark. But like, maybe you're looking, we need to reassess the tiers in that. You say there's a top tier and there's a second tier. But like, if you had, say, I know it's not fair, say, if Carlow couldn't get relegated this year and then Westmead can't get promoted or whatever. But if you look at Westmead, Kerry, Antrim, and then Carlow and Laois, like, there's an argument that, I don't know how you split it up, but they deserve to be playing at least one or two of the bigger teams during the league every year at the minute. And at the minute, the only two, like Laois and Carlow, are getting it this year. Next year, it'll be Laois and Westmeath or Kerry, whoever it is.
Yeah.
Antrim are going to be stuck down there for another year. Carlow are going to be stuck down there again. Like, there's definitely an argument that, like, maybe it's you restructure. I know they've gone and restructured it again now, but like, that if you had a bigger, allow one more of the, I suppose if you allow one more into Division 1A, then you've only got one big team, really. Then you're talking, but like something like that, or even if it's like, I don't know, like you play a league where you might necessarily play every team in your division, that you play, there's a draw and you play 6 teams out of the 8 teams in the division. I know that like it's too big to have a 10 team league or something,
yeah.
But you could have a game, you just maybe not end up playing someone.
Just to like keep them at the top table in as fair a way as possible, because they need to be playing those games.
Yeah.
Carlow, I feel at the moment, this is a good year for them to go in. I still think they'll lose every game. I really do. I hate saying that. I'd love that not to be the case. But it's a good year to do. They're used to playing teams. We didn't hold a parade when they drew at Galway a few weeks ago. You know, we didn't expect it, But it wasn't the biggest shock we've ever heard either. You know, I think that this isn't a bad year for this to happen.
And just finally, before we move on from this, the Carlo example is a good one, because I actually asked Carlo about this recently, and it was the idea, like, I was wondering, like, Cullen Bonner, should his goal to be that they're going to peak for one game, which is a Dublin game, like nothing else matters, that is their game, because that's probably their best chance to survive, if they could beat Dublin and hope that Dublin lose the rest of their games. Do you know what I mean? So that they peaked. And his point was that, what damage could that do to Carlo hurling if they welcome Kilkenny and Galway to Carlo and get absolutely hammered and people see them? Yeah. So you're kind of trying to weigh up a long-term shot. And it's amazing that they're actually conscious of that while they're a team now.
What is very good, though, is that Offaly got relegated last year. Now, we'll talk about Offaly, and there's a big story there, and it's bad for the people of Offaly. What's good for the system is that the form Laois are in is very, very strong. They've 3 points in 1B. You've got Westmeath still winning games all over the place. Offaly are far from guaranteed to come straight back up. And if we've got a different team in there every few years, and that it's not always Carlo and Offaly just swapping places every 2 years, then that's a much more healthy system as well.
Look, it's time to talk about a real competition. The inaugural Guess the Spreads hurling show.
Oh, I thought he was talking about my table tennis victory. But
he got relegation.
Morris got relegated and I won the Division 1. Mark's still in Division 2 for another year. Just to keep everybody updated, I'll give you regular Friday updates here on the podcast.
We'll eventually branch out and have a table tennis office podcast at some stage as well. For the purposes of this, we've got 3 games, but also I'm going to include one guest, the favourite, because they don't price up the handicap for lower league games, and I don't think it's fair. So we're going to play this. So we're going to start with that. So Mark, you're up first.
Yep.
Kildare down, guess the favourite.
That has to be down.
No, it's Kildare, 4-6.
What?
So
I do a guess the favourite as well?
But also, that's a great bet for them. Down of 1-3, last one. The table here in front of me, I was like, this is the one I was like, I'm sure I'm going to win this because I've got the actual table. I've 1-2, lost 2.
Mm.
Although, to be fair, Kildare's score difference is plus 38.
Yeah, Kildare were in 1B last year.
Yeah.
Or 2A or whatever it is. Yeah.
Also coming off the back of a Stormont Championship. Mick, yours is Derry Wicklow.
That has to be Derry.
Yeah. Okay. 8-13, yeah. Wicklow 6-4.
I will say I got a much easier question there, but 1-0.
But the odds are the same. Yeah. So it's 1-0 to Mick. So Mark, you're up here. Wexford, Kilkenny.
This is spread now.
Yeah,
is it?
Sorry, yeah.
And it's in Wexford Park.
Yeah.
Kilkenny minus 3.
Mick.
We did. I was trying to remember it.
The tension in this room is unbelievable.
Kilkenny minus 2.
Kilkenny minus 1. 2-0.
We did this the earlier on of the week.
and you both got it wrong.
Okay, I still got a point though. Is it double points for getting the spread right?
No, it's 2-0.
Okay.
You're up here now.
I was trying to remember that.
Carlo Offaly.
So Carlo at home.
Yeah.
We should talk about this match briefly, right? Because I just checked it before we came in. Head-to-head is what counts and not points difference. Because if it was points difference, Offaly would have to beat Carlo by, I think, 18 points or 16 points to stay up. So they just need to... Carlo are on 2, Offaly on 0.
Yeah.
So this is a massive game for Offaly hurling. I don't know if we've talked about this, but Offaly to fall into like Division 2... of as well as being in the John McDonagh Cup is just insanity,
it's crazy.
And this is the only thing that matters in Division 1 at the moment, because there's no promotion or relegation from 1A. So all that's not just buying time. I just thought it was important to talk about. I think Offaly will probably be favourites for this. I'll say Offaly minus 2.
I'm going to say Carlo minus, no, because then I think Carlo could be favourite sort. So I'm going to say Offaly minus 1, even though I think Carlo are going to be the minus, but I'm just going 1 lower than Mick.
It's Carlo minus 2.
Yes.
Wow.
Maybe we need to bring back the 2 points for a correct answer, because you played it safe there.
Yep.
And it's supposed to.
I'm the one who. That's a fair point.
That's very interesting. Here's the thing, because Offaly have been really, really poor.
Yeah.
But I think Carlow is the game. Like, Carlow are the team that are replacing them in the Leinster Championship. It's to stay up. It's like the fight of their lives. This is the biggest game of the season for them, unless things go poorly in the John McDonagh, you know? And I think they, like, Offaly may as well give up hurling if they don't win this weekend. Like, you know?
Do you think?
Ah, like, no, I don't. I don't. That's just an expression. I just think this is a massive, massive deal.
There is the thing, though, as well, because we were talking earlier on.
They lost Leash. That was a surprise. You know, it wasn't a massive surprise to me, but they have had the bad rub of the green with the draw. Like, they're playing Leash and Carlow both away from home.
Mm. But it was Dahi Regan, on the very first episode of last year's podcast, we spoke to, and he said that Offaly football thinks it's hit rock bottom and they still have a way to go. That maybe this is what they need. Like, the idea of Offaly, it's not funny, like, in Division 2 is crazy. It's absolutely insane.
Sad. It's not so sad. It's not that mad, though. Even, like, earlier on, like, we're talking about it in terms of Carlow's development. Like, it's by no means a given that Carlow are going to be in Division 2A next year.
Yeah.
That, like, if Offaly are there, it's like, what do they benefit from having to play Westmead, Kerry, Antrim, or would they benefit from?
I don't know.
I actually don't have.
I suppose at this stage, where the argument last year when they were relegated, and from the Offaly, the great Offaly team, and all the players that are in the media, was Offaly will gain nothing by playing John McDonagh. But I think it's fair to say at this stage that Offaly are gaining nothing by playing in the Leinster Championship either, and that we have to try something new.
Yeah.
At this stage, and it's not punitive for them to get relegated. It's not been done to harm them. It's just we have to give someone else a chance. They're not doing anything, like, you know.
And I suppose the most important question of all is, what's the spread?
The spread is Carlow -2. We've already done it, and Martin got closer.
We're going on to Wexford Kilkenny. So what's
the score? We've already done Wexford Kilkenny. You're losing the mind.
Waterford Galway.
Me first.
Yeah,
and this is 1-1, is it?
No, 2-1. No,
2-1. This is to salvage a draw only.
Waterford Galway.
If you get this spot on, I'll give you 2 points.
Changing the rules halfway through.
Galway -2.
Mick.
Waterford at home?
Waterford at home, yeah.
Walsh Park?
Oh, it should be minus. No, never mind.
I'll go Waterford -1.
It's Galway -1?
That's all right.
I was thinking that, but I win still because I'm only 1 point off. You're 2.
You said Waterford -2.
I said Galway -2.
Oh shit, I was only changing it because I thought Galway would be favourites.
What?
I said I thought Galway would be favourites, but I thought you said Waterford -2. So I went with Waterford -1.
Oh, that's where I even had a frequent name with Galway. So I went, oh no, and you're like, Waterford, it should have been Galway -1.
All right, it's a draw, so we need a tie maker.
This is ridiculous. I can't. What's a tie maker?
Yeah.
We need a tie breaker. The opposite of a tie maker.
Is that what's ridiculous? Or
no, it's ridiculous that that I had to not get the points for him getting the Waterford one wrong.
I got. What are you talking about?
Lads,
I heard you wrong.
I want the All Ireland.
How is it my fault?
I want
it's not your fault.
Shush.
It's
quiet.
I was 1 point off going.
It's outright prices for the All Ireland Senior Hurling Championship 2019. I want to know Carlo's price. Who's going first here?
Mick gets to go first.
What Carlo?
I like bollocksology.
What price are Carlo?
They're one of two prices. Like, it's either, it doesn't matter. Anyway, 1,000 to 1.
Mark?
You could be right with 1,000 to 1. I'm going to say 999 to 1.
1,000 to 1 is spot on.
Yes. It was either going to be 1,000 or 500.
Why did I let you go first?
Right, so I win 3-2, another victory. That's I'm very happy with that. We never talked anything, not one thing, about Division 1A in this podcast.
Division 1A is a wasted type. But
that's what we should talk about, because we've possibly gone into the best ever. The potentially could have the best ever senior hurling championship of all time. We've got 8 teams that could win it realistically. Probably 7 teams that could win it realistically. And no, I would say 8 actually. Waterford and Galway and the 6-1A teams. And the league should be really, really fun, because you've got such mad parity. You've got Limerick have 3 wins, Tip have 1 win, everybody else has 2. But there's no buzz to it at all, because they've changed the system, and I don't think the system needed to be changed. I really don't understand why they did it.
Is it not to?
People have been giving out about it for years, and it's brilliant. It's the best the league's ever been.
Would the new system not make it slightly more competitive in the idea that you've got like the 4 out of 6 going to a quarterfinal made a small bit of a farce that teams could, we got situations where teams were in